to the book of Luke. I want to preach on that. I want to talk about that this morning. Because we've allowed the world to reduce this special day in which we celebrate the incarnation to a simple phrase, Jesus is the reason for the season. Yeah, but it's more than that. Jesus is the reason for everything. All things were by him and for his good pleasure do they exist. Everything is about Jesus, not just this specific season. But as I look at what happens during the Christmas season, and this has been something that I've seen for years, but over the past week, it's really been on my heart. How heaven rejoiced at the coming of the King to bring joy to men, good tidings. And the world's response, mankind's response to heaven. In the book of Luke, I'll just begin reading in chapter 2. This is immediately following the birth of Jesus, which was in Bethlehem, but somewhere else in Judea, there were shepherds in a field, and this is what they experienced at the birth of Jesus Christ. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of God shined round about them. Now, Jesus came in a manger in Bethlehem, and the glory fell on these shepherds. And they were so afraid, and the angel said unto them, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Catch this, which shall be to all the people. In other words, what the angel is saying at the coming of the King in that manger, the joy of heaven overflowed and spilled into the pasture. It spilled into the earth. And the angel made the pronunciation that I'm here to give you good tidings of joy. And it's for all the people because the King has come. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. As I said a moment ago, one that provides the off-ramp to hell. The main highway goes straight to hell, but there's an off-ramp named Jesus. He's the Savior. Hallelujah. And that alone should be a joyous occasion for the world. We should be celebrating in the streets in celebration of this that occurred 2,000 years ago. But instead, we use it for an opportunity to sell our iPhones and our Androids. We use it for an opportunity to commercialize and make merchandise of God's people. And I'm just going to be honest, we play along with that too often. Amen. We play along with that too often. This is a time that we should recognize, Lord, you came to save us. You came and to recognize all the gifts. Do you realize the first gift ever given on Christmas was the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ? Before the wise men took gifts to Jesus, God had already given the gift of his son to the world. And so heaven overflowed with joy. And the joy fell on these shepherds in the pasture to the extent they left the flocks. They got gifts, and they said, we got to go find him. We got to go find this Savior. We got to find this baby in the manger. But when you look and contrast the joys of heaven over this event to the reception of men for the totality of his time on this planet, there is a stark difference. If you go back just two verses, you find in verse 6, same chapter. So it was that while they, speaking of Mary and Joseph, were there, the days were accomplished that they should be delivered. And Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothing and laid him in a manger. A manger is a feeding trough for animals. He was birthed in a barn. Because there was nothing better, she wrapped him in swaddling clothing and laid him in what really is a hog trough, something that goats and cows eat out of. Because there was no room for them in the inn. Catch that. There was no room for Jesus. There was no room for him. And as it was 2,000 years ago, no room for Jesus, it continues right now. The human race has no room for Jesus. We don't want him in our schools. We don't want him in our courts. We don't want him in our homes. And too often, we don't want him in our hearts. No room for Jesus. We sit in our stubborn arrogance, not realizing the only thing that stands between you and eternal hell is that a Savior came to this world and hung upon a cross so that we could be adopted back into the family of God. How absolutely stupid we are as a creation. How absolutely evil and ungodly we are as a creation. Have you watched us? Do you see this going on in on the other side? Do you see what's happening over there? That's in all of us. You can't look at that and say, they're animals. No, no, no. All of us are animals. This is my Christmas message. But from heaven, God sends a Savior. And day one, as soon as he gets here, we got no room for him. We got no room for him. Do you have room for Jesus this Christmas? Do you have time to just thank God that, Lord, that you came not for yourself, you came for me. You came to die for me. It's the unspeakable gift. It's incomprehensible that God, the King of glory, who was not uncreated, infinite in his nature and essence, would put on human stinking flesh that needs to be bathed every 24 hours or you have problems so that I could be benefited. Hallelujah. No room for Jesus. We've got no room for him. Now you may think, well, preacher, you're just being a little strong this morning. No, no, no. I've been saved long enough, and I've watched this long enough, that I know the depth of our evil is without description. He came into his own, and his own knew him not, received him not, had no room for him whatsoever. I've watched over the past number of years, and it's come into clearer and clearer focus as I've matured in Christ. What is going on? I'm going to ask you, could you, Brother I, could you please put that graphic up? We see it, but sometimes we don't know what we're seeing. We look right at it, and we don't realize what is happening to us. Oh, here it is. I happened to be reading the paper and I saw this article. And so I searched for that phrase across the internet and I found that every major newspaper is running this article. How Santa Claus is flying across the sky from the North Pole, led by not just a reindeer, but a reindeer that has a bright, shiny nose to show the way. And he's going to go down every chimney with his fat self and put gifts for the children. Now, here's what's happening. NORAD is the U.S. government. That is the military. You have the military, you have the government, you have commercialism, corporate America, and you have most of the population of planet Earth in a coordinated conspiracy to show that there's no room for Jesus. We've covered him up with a lie that is so absolutely remarkable that a man would actually be in a sleigh flying through the sky. And he's overweight, grossly overweight. And in this one sleigh, he has enough presents for all the children in the world, and the reindeer has a red nose. We have changed the truth of God into a lie. And we have worshiped the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. My heart breaks. Not just that this is happening, but that we seem to be unaware of it. Oh, brother, what's wrong? We're just having just a little fun. What's wrong with it? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. Thou shalt not lie. Yeah, it's a lie. Thank you, brothers. It's a lie. But yet we go into automatic pilot to go into Frosty the Snowman mode. We run up and down the aisles. We find our Santa Clauses and our candy canes and all of the corporate effort. All they're doing is extracting money from your pocket. You can worship Jesus for free. Come without money and without price. See, this is our day. This is not the world's day. They celebrate a lie. It's quiet in here. I don't care. I hope I'm getting more shouts on the internet, on the webcast than I'm getting in here. But I don't care. Somebody said, preacher, you're making me mad. It's my job. It's what I do. Amen. You can get so mad you fall out. But when you wake up, it's the same. It's not the truth. And we as God's people better get used to discerning what is the truth from what is the lie. Or they will vaccinate you to death. Man, I'm feeling cocky this morning. So this baby's born in the manger. There's no room for Jesus. We don't have room for him. The wise men who felt the joy of the Lord, who felt the presence of God in the fields, they rushed to Jesus. It may have taken weeks, perhaps even longer, because they went by Herod's place, and finally they come to Jesus and they give him gifts, and they share joy in the presence of Joseph and Mary. And on the way back, the Holy Spirit talks to the shepherds and say, don't go back and tell Herod. Because it was Herod's intention to find where this newborn king was born at so that he could kill him. And he got so angry when the shepherds didn't come back, he said, kill every baby in Bethlehem that's less than 2 years old. Kill them all. Why? There's no room for Jesus. He was saying that the land already has a king. There's no room for another king. And he slew them all. Somebody tell me the human race is not evil. So I said, no, it was Herod. No, it was us. Do you sense within your own self that you have the capacity for great evil? If you do, if you don't, you should check yourself. God had to rebuke me as I watched this foolishness going on in Washington, D.C., and I used to tell my wife, and I used to talk about it, if I just only had the power for 24 hours, we could change this whole thing. It would be no problem. Of course, a lot of people would have to die. And then I began to realize I have the same capacity in me for mass murder that everybody else has. You just have to be honest with yourself. And I've learned and say, Lord, I don't know why you let it go on this way, but I'm with you. And as long as you're waiting, I'll wait. So Herod tries to kill the baby because there's no room for Jesus. We didn't have it 2,000 years ago, and the human race has not changed. Oh, sure, we have more technology. Oh, sure, you see more of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil now with our increased intelligence than you saw before, but we're just as evil at the base. Jesus, one time, as he grew up from this childhood, went into his public ministry. The Bible says in Acts, he went about doing good and delivering all those that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Didn't matter what you had. If you came to Jesus, you walked away delivered. I don't care if they brought Jesus to somebody and they was dead. Didn't matter. You walked away delivered. Hallelujah. And he did that for 3.5 years. And on one occasion, he was feeding the 5,000, and he heard the voice across the lake. It was the voice of one that was tormented by 2,000 demons. And so he got in the ship, and he went across. And as soon as he got in the land of Gerasene, the man by the name of Legion came running upon him. And in one moment, the power of God changed that man from a demon possessed that ran through the tombs naked and had done so for months, perhaps years. In one moment, he changed him to be clothed and seated at the foot of Jesus in his right mind. The insanity gone and the demons cast out. What a power. What power. He tasted the raw, naked power of the Savior of the world. It says in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, and they that fed the swine, because he cast the demons out, and they went into the swine, and the swine wouldn't drown themselves. And they that fed the swine, verse 14, told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what this was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, was, past tense, that was possessed with the devil. And had the legion. He was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid, and they saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they, the community, society in that area, they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. We got no room for you here. We don't want you here. Saints, that is the overall expression of society today. Even amongst those professing Christianity, many times, don't mess up our program. We're going to have a Santa Claus play right after this. You can't preach like this. The play is Santa Claus we're going to do. And we've got Frosty the Snowman. In fact, even if you see a nativity scene anymore, right behind Joseph, there's Frosty the Snowman, right behind Joseph. And Santa Claus is kneeling down with the wise men. And you think, what kind of foolishness is this? There is a conspiracy to move the hearts and minds of people away from Jesus Christ and put them on fables, put them on myths, and things that are not at all the truth. And we as Christians, we need to hold fast to our position in Christ. I'm not going to tell you how to celebrate Christmas, but it ought to be about Jesus. And listen, it doesn't matter what your profession is. It matters what your practice is. Judas could have said all day long, I'm not in conspiracy with the Pharisees, and greeted Jesus with a kiss, Master. He could say all day long, I'm not in conspiracy with him. But he would have just been a lie, because he had 30 pieces of silver in his pocket. I am still, after 3 years, celebrating my first grandchild, little Charlie. She's named after me. And I stay out of my son-in-law and my daughter's business, because I'm a grandfather. I'm not part of their family. Ike is the head of that household. But I was so happy when I heard my son-in-law say, no, there's no Santa Claus. Me and your mama bought you those presents. Hallelujah. Please don't teach your children a lie. For crying out loud, you on the webcast, don't teach your children a lie. What kind of Christians are we that we would promote a lie and we would denigrate and decrease the truth? I grew up in a household that wasn't saved. I remember every Christmas Eve, they'd make us wait till 12 o'clock at night. We're little kids. We had spent weeks circling things in the catalog. I want this and I want that. Oh, no, they didn't think about money at all. Just, what do I want? And then at midnight, they say, oh, Santa Claus just left. Come open your presents. And I grew up and I realized my parents lied to me. They told me a lie. They could have just as well told me they bought those presents and would have been no different to me whatsoever. In fact, I would have loved them instead of loving Santa Claus. And if you teach your children Santa Claus, when you try to tell them about Jesus, they're going to say it's just another lie. It's just another lie. I thank God for my family. So finally, towards the end of Jesus' ministry, this happened all through his ministry. Everywhere he went, there was no room. We don't want you, brother. but I'm healing the sick. I'm raising the dead. The halt, the withered, the worn, the broken, the bruised. I'm healing all of them. We don't care. We don't want you here. And you know why? Holiness. Because he came saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is near, and I'm the king of the kingdom, and you need to repent. And we say, oh, we don't have that. Do you think they let me loose in Lakewood Baptist Church to preach this message this morning? Do you think they let me stand on the stage in the Potter's House and preach this morning? It messes up the program. Brother, the money will go down if you're preaching like that. So his preaching and his healings and his miracles over the course of his public ministry got him in a lot of trouble. When he started his public ministry, he was like a rock star. The crowd swelled up to thousands would follow Jesus. But in the last year and a half of his public ministry, he was homeless. He was chastened and rebuked everywhere that he went. The birds have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He lived as a vagabond. Till finally, one of his own. This is why you need to walk as strong with Jesus Christ as you can, because you're not that strong that you won't betray him. You're not that strong. It's not a given. You need to press towards the mark of the prize. One of his own sold him for the price of a slave. So he went to court before Pilate. And Pilate knew he was innocent. His wife had dreams and said, have nothing to do with that just man, for I've suffered many things in a dream because of him. Leave him alone. And Pilate came out before society as a whole and said, here is Barabbas and here is Jesus. Whether of the twain will you that I release unto you? And society said, give us Barabbas, a known seditionist and murderer. Give us Barabbas. Pilate said, well, what will I do with Jesus? Crucify him. Crucify him. We have no room for Jesus. If he came back today, we'd crucify him again. But praise be to God. When he comes back again, he's coming back with all power in his hand. He's coming back in majesty and glory, and he will not come back to be crucified again. Hallelujah. He's coming to end to make the kingdoms of this world the kingdoms of our God in his Christ. My God, you ought to be shouting about that. I am so sick of what I see going on planet Earth. I'm like, Lord, come and get us, or else call for me to come home. I don't want to go any further down here. It's too wicked. It's too evil. Amen. Some said, preacher, you mad? I'm mad at the devil. And also at Christians' simple-minded following of society and government without ever letting your own gray matter think through what it is that you're doing. You know, This happens every Christmas, and we never catch on. And so when Christmas is over, there's no additional joy in our heart, just additional cost on our credit cards. We're being pimped. Amen. By corporate America, by commercialism, money's being extracted from our pockets, and we look at what the things that we're buying, and we don't look at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that God came into this world and dwelt amongst us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. It goes on to say that as many as that received him, to them gave he power to become the adopted sons of God. Meaning that I was on the 6-lane highway to hell. I was in the fast lane. How many was in the fast lane? Glory to God. And I saw a sign that said off ramp, heaven this way. Glory to God. And I took the off ramp and I found out this is a beautiful way. This is a way that it fills the soul with glory. Hallelujah. I don't need a new Android phone. I don't need a new iPhone. I don't need a PS5. I don't need any of that. I've got Jesus in my soul. I've got Jesus in my heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's real. Make sure that you look, analyze what you're doing at Christmas time. If it's going to take you till March to pay off the bills, you done the wrong thing. Yeah, you done the wrong thing. Now, I'm not saying you can't buy your loved ones a present. I don't suppose there's anything wrong with that. But what is the overall focus of your Christmas experience? What do you really focus on? What do you teach your babies, your nephews, your nieces? What do you teach the little ones concerning this most important day? I'll end here because I can feel it's getting a little tight. The book of Romans, chapter 1, we look at this and we accuse the homosexual community of this. We accuse those who are the Muslim community. We accuse those who are removed from biblical Christianity. But I'm afraid that within the scope of biblical Christianity, we should accuse ourselves. When on Christmas, and it'll happen again on Easter, we've changed the truth of God into a lie. We've been part of the conspiracy to change the truth of God. Do you realize that if every professing Christian in the United States says, no, we're not buying your garbage, there are corporations that will go bankrupt in the fourth quarter because that's where they make all their money. It would change the course of the nation if every Christian said, no, we are Christians and our King is Jesus and we're not giving you any money. Keep your inventory. Let it stack up until you have to give it away. But every year we do the same thing. What's wrong with having a little fun? We talk ourselves into it. Oh, the children. The children will love it. Well, I'll tell you, I would have preferred to just tell me that my mother bought me the pair of socks I did not really want. It's not what I circled in the magazine. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads this morning? Father, we just give you thanks, Lord. Lord, how long-suffering you are with us as we stumble around in our immaturity. Father, we ask you that you would help us, Lord, to see clearly what's happening in the world around us, to discern clearly, and to not be a part of the conspiracy to undermine Christ or to reduce the work of Christ to a mere saying that he's the reason for the season. God, you are the reason for everything. Now, right now, I'm going to ask you, if you're able this morning, all across the room, would you stand to your feet? I don't know where you are. I don't want to accuse you of anything. I'm not mad at you. But reflect upon yourself and how you have dealt with Christmas. What has been your focus? What has you excited? What is it that is making Christmas Christmas for you? Just right now, why don't you just ask God, if it's not the right thing and you know it's not the right thing, just take it to God right now. Lord, I'm wrong in what I've done. And God, I want to do better. God, I want to serve you in spirit and in truth. I certainly don't want to be part of the conspiracy that has covered you, undermined you, and regarded you as nothing. But Lord, I want to be part of that band that lifts up Jesus Christ with all that in me is, especially on this very special day that celebrates the incarnation. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning. He's not angry at you either. He loves you. He loves you. Just talk to Jesus about it right now.
Hallelujah. We worship you, our King, our Savior, Jesus, sent to us from heaven, a baby in a manger. We worship the Creator, not the creation. You alone are God, and we worship our King, our Savior, and our Lord during this Christmas season. Help us to honor Him, to worship Him, to spread the good news, the gospel about Him to our families and our friends this holiday season. God, we pray that you would help us do just that. Give us the grace and the anointing to let others know of your love and mercy and forgiveness through Christ. We ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Well, we praise God for all of you that joined us this morning. If you haven't given, we do ask you to do so, and there's lots of ways to give. We appreciate all those that help us get this gospel out to the nations. A few announcements. If you're in need of food during this holiday season, we have a large basket of food that we prepare for those in the DFW area. You have to go to our website, crossdenvale.org/benevolence, and there you can apply for a time to come and pick up a basket of food. Also, we sent an email this past week, and actually a text as well, to everybody in the church that gave in 2023. Make sure you click on that link and go there and give us your email that you want your tax statement sent to. It's very important. If you want, you know, your year-end tax statement, we do need your email, okay? So if you don't get anything, you'll know why. So please make sure you do that. Click on that link on the email or the text that we sent out. Also, a week from today is our first worship service. Praise God. So we'll be worshiping in the new year at 11 p.m. We start our first worship. It's on a Sunday evening. So we'll have normal Sunday morning services. And then Sunday evening, 11 p.m., make sure you're here and help us worship in the new year. We do need help as far as people, not to set up, but to help serve during, because we're going to have food next door. We need help serving the food, and we need help cleaning up afterwards. So please sign up, and the signups are in the lobby. Please help us with that. We do need your help. All right. Well, with that, we want to let you know we love you. You are dismissed. You have a very Merry Christmas. God bless.